Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Advocate Like a Mother podcast. I'm Michelle from Littlest Warrior.
And I'm Ashley Montano from Hope for Rider. This is our new podcast coming this fall, and we're so excited to have you here and create this community together. So let's get started.
We're so excited that you've joined us. This is episode zero, and we're really excited about this new podcast coming this fall. This episode is to introduce ourselves, and Ashley's going to tell us why we're here.
And we are so motivated to participate in this and helps to spread more awareness in our community and help parents find their voice and be empowered and use it. And we are excited to help share all of our valuable resources that we have collected together over the years of being in the special needs community together.
So we wanted to take a minute and tell you guys about ourselves. So again, my name is Michelle. I am married to my high school sweetheart. His name is Eric. We got married 2 weeks after I graduated from high school. I turned 18 a month later, so I actually had to have my parents sign a permission slip to get married.
Oh my gosh.
So that's fun. I have no idea why I couldn't wait that extra month. Speaking of teenagers that don't get, I have three of them, three daughters. So we always wanted four kids. And after we had our third daughter, I got really sick. And I had no idea what was going on. I saw so many doctors, so many specialists. No one could give me any answers. I would Google my symptoms every day, which I don't recommend.
Please don't Dr. Google ever.
But I did Google my symptoms one day, and celiac disease came up. And I had never heard of it. No idea what it was. Come to find out that I have it. And I started to feel so much better. During when I was sick, I was actually like basically bedridden. Like, it was awful. I had no energy. I was super anemic, didn't know it. None of the doctors ever thought to check for that. That's a whole nother story that we'll get into maybe another day, just about advocating for yourself.
But yes.
Eric actually ended up getting a vasectomy because I was terrified to get pregnant. I was in bed. I could barely take care of the three kids I had. There was no way I could survive a pregnancy. And so we made that decision. And then once I got better, we really started thinking, gosh, like, we've always wanted more kids, you know, what should we do? And so we actually pursued adoption and foster care. And God just kept closing that door for some reason. We were heartbroken. We didn't know what to do, but we felt this tug on our heart that our family was not complete. And so we kind of started, you know, thinking about what our options were. And so we looked into getting a vasectomy reversal, and we heard about this doctor in Texas who does it as a ministry because it's insanely expensive.
Right.
And so we found this doctor. We actually have two friends that went to him too. Kind of crazy that all these people, it's like, stop getting vasectomies. Eric flew out, and, you know, they told us, you know, the chances of getting pregnant were super slim. Oh, let me go back for a second. I completely forgot about one part. So when we were deciding if this was something we wanted to do, we kind of sat down and did like kind of like a pros and cons list of like, okay, do we keep pursuing adoption? Do we just say, okay, we're done. We're thankful for the three kids we have, and we're not going to pursue having any more kids. Or do we do this reversal? And one of the things that came up during the conversation about the reversal was Down syndrome.
Right.
And Eric thought I was crazy. And I told him, I'm like, I honestly think if I get pregnant, the baby's going to have Down syndrome. He's like, are you serious? That's not going to happen. He actually went, like, did a bunch of research, yeah, crunched the numbers,
yeah,
came back to me like 2 days later and was like, you have a 0.3% chance of getting pregnant with a baby with Down syndrome. It's not going to happen. And I was like, okay, well,
that's just wild to me that God already put that on your heart because he knew.
Yeah, he knew I needed to be prepared ahead of time.
Yes, which is amazing and scary at the same time, because honestly, that diagnosis at first is just, wild.
Right. But I think, yeah, I think God knew that I needed some prep.
Yes.
And so anyway, so Eric went to Texas, came back. You know, we went into it knowing that, you know, there was a chance that it might not work.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work for a lot of people. No. And so we didn't have high expectations, but we were hopeful. And so I ended up getting pregnant the very first month, like, which is kind of unheard of. Like, yes, they told us it usually takes at least a year.
Right.
And so we were kind of shocked. And so we were elated. And so, you know, it's a big age gap between our youngest daughter, 9 years, actually. Mm-hmm. And so starting over was kind of crazy. And then around 15 weeks along, we went to like a little ultrasound place and found out that we're having our first boy. And we were so freaking excited. And then around 20 weeks, we found out a bunch of other stuff. And I won't go into that now because we have an episode planned for diagnosis. But spoiler alert, he has Down syndrome. And so he was born, and things were crazy at first because he had duodenal atresia. So we had to have surgery at 2 days old to unblock his intestines. He had a G-tube placed. He weighed 4 pounds when he was born. He was super tiny. And then he had open heart surgery at 6 months old.
Wow, he was such a little nugget when he had open heart surgery.
He weighed 8 pounds. They told us he has to weigh
6 months.
Yeah, at 6 months, they told us he has to weigh 8 pounds. And so we just dumped stuff into that G tube.
Yes,
all the time. Get there, get there, get there.
Praise for the G tube when you can give all the calories.
Yes.
Seriously, the G tube is a godsend.
Seriously, yes. It's incredible.
Yes,
it's incredible. Yeah, I was so thankful for it.
Same.
And so, yeah, so after he had his open heart surgery, I finally felt like I could breathe. I felt like I was holding my breath.
Yes.
Those 6 months, could breathe, could think. And so I started looking around for some cute, like, hip awareness tees, and I couldn't really find anything. Everything kind of had, like, you know, butterflies and ribbons.
Yes.
It's just not my style.
Sparkles.
Yeah. And so, I started Littlest Warrior, and, it's just been such an incredible, you know, thing. I had no idea what a community it would turn into. I just kind of thought, oh, I'll just have some cute shirts. But it's just been so amazing. Just the friends that I've made through it. I met you, Ashley.
Yes, I know. And I honestly feel like that community for you is one of the only ones on social media that's just brings so many families together, not just, yeah, Down syndrome, not just congenital heart disease, right, not just, you know, G-tube warriors. It's everybody.
Right.
And it's incredible to bring all of these families together and know that we are all alike.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's been, Liz Warrior has just been so amazing. And so, yeah, that brings me to how I met you.
Yes.
And so when I started thinking about doing this podcast, you were the first person that I thought of. Thank God. That would be really awkward if you're like the 12th person.
Right? Oh, my goodness. Went through all these other contestants. Nobody really wanted to do it.
So, yeah, tell us about you.
Hi, guys. I'm Ashley Montano. I am a mother of 2 special needs children. I am also married. I have been married since I was 21. I've known my husband since I was 16. I was a young mom with Ryder. I got pregnant when I was 19. I was very blind to the world of disabilities. And after he was born, he was only 5 pounds at birth, so I get the little
tiny
nuggets. And he was blue. And at first, I was a little scared and worried, but the hospital just kept telling us, oh, no, he's cold. He's cold. We're just going to go put him under a light, and he'll be fine. And his blood sugar was low for a few days. And then on the second day, when the pediatricians do their rounds at the hospital, they said, your son has a murmur, and you need to follow up with a cardiologist. And that's when things really kind of started sinking in and just thinking, like, wow, I need to start from here and be an advocate and help push and see what is going on with my son. Because being a young mom, and I think being a little bit blind to everything that goes on, you just kind of think like, oh, I'm gonna have a perfect pregnancy, my kid's gonna be perfectly healthy, and my risks are so low. But I just don't think that that's the case. So after a lot of doctors, after a lot of not being happy with answers that we were getting, we finally got Ryder's diagnosis at 2.5. He was 2.5 when he had his open heart surgery. He had a catastrophic allergic reaction to the plastic on the bypass pump, which caused him from being a typical functioning toddler, from eating and talking and walking from himself, to not even being able to hold his neck up. After that, we kind of said to each other, like, we're never going to have another kid, because that's it's something that's very traumatic to go through. It's a lot of PTSD. It's a lot of depression. It's a lot of grief, honestly, because personally, I feel like I've had to grieve my son for once who he was to now who he is and who he's going to be forever. Right. And there was always a little bit of hope that he would potentially, like, it would burn out and the movements would go away, but they haven't. And we accept Ryder for who he is, and we love him with the movements. That's just how I know my son now. Right. So after he got out of the hospital, we were in there for 6 months. We finally decided to take the plunge and have another kid. And just like you, it literally happened in like a month, and I was pregnant, and I was so nervous and just didn't know what to expect, because, you know, being a first time mom with all of these diagnoses, it's really scary going into a second pregnancy. We parents didn't get genetically tested with Ryder. We just had him tested. So, you know, going in with Harper, I was worried about congenital heart disease. I was worried about a lot of other things. You know, it's rare to have two children with Williams syndrome, but it's not unusual. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm the mom that gets struck by lightning twice and just continues to go on in life. So we had Harper, and I could just tell when she was about like one that something was just off, behavior-wise, cognitive-wise, just a lot of things just told me what I've already kind of educated myself on, that just something is off and I need to help her in whatever way. Maybe it's just speech therapy. Maybe it's just, I don't know, any kind of therapy. And
all the therapies.
All of the therapies, please. So then I went to the doctor and I told him that I think she has autism. And he said, no, she doesn't. She just has a speech delay. I'm like, all right, well, if you're not going to take me serious, then I'm going to call somebody who will. So that's when I followed up with Regional Center and got her an evaluation there. And when we went to the first evaluation center, the name had autism in it. And that for me was like my sign from God that like I was on the right path. I was doing the right thing for my kid. And this diagnosis is going to help her get all the valuable resources that she needs in life. Because if you don't have that diagnosis, they just don't take you seriously. They just think that you're being a helicopter mom. And we're just trying to help push for our kids and advocate for what services we feel like they deserve. So just in April, Harper was diagnosed with severe autism. Little did we know that she also has a deletion, which is called 3P26.3. That is what causes her autism. It's something that I'm still educating myself on, because it's a lot to learn. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, this is a new diagnosis for you guys.
It is, and it's very scary. It's just a whole other world of just like, what is our, how can I best mold her future to give her like the best outcome in life? Like, what can I help do to help push her and just be there for her? So I'm really excited to be here on this podcast and talk more about diagnoses and talk more about how to get the services that you deserve and how to get what you need and self-care and self-advocacy and all of the things that come with this, because it's a journey and every single day it's a fight and it's not easy.
Right.
I think that we kind of make it look easy. You look, you make it look easier than me.
Oh, stop.
But I feel like this is so important, and this is what our community needs. We need to together and be together and support each other and say like, hey, look, this worked for my kid. Right. Maybe try this for your child. Totally. Or, you know, this doctor is amazing. Maybe try to contact them and see if you can get an appointment. I just want to be here to help support other moms and help them know that they are a super mom.
Totally.
They are. Every single one of you.
Yeah, I know. I've gotten a couple messages from moms who will say things to me like, how do I become an advocate? And I always tell them, you are an advocate.
Yes.
As soon as you see those two pink lines, yes, or you sign the adoption papers,
yes,
you are your child's advocate.
For
you
whatever
are their
it
voice,
is.
Yes. For whatever it is. It
you
doesn't
are
matter.
Their advocate. It's not how do you become one. It's just, we all just learn. My thing for me to push me to become an advocate is when Ryder was in the hospital and one of my favorite nurses came to me and said, you need to be his voice. Mm-hmm. If you want him to have music therapy, you push and you push and you push until he gets that, because you're the only one who's going to be able to do that.
Right.
So you push. And that honestly lit my fire, because once she told me that, I was just like, you know what? You are so right. I started getting on Instagram and my social media and just trying to put out there, you know, like, advocate for your kids. Yeah. This is what's best for them. And look at how far my son has came from doctors telling him that he'll never walk and he's going to be a vegetable for the rest of his life.
Goodness.
Yeah. Abdication is key, and you can do it. Everybody has the voice.
Oh, yeah.
It is scary. Trust me. Mm-hmm. It is. Sometimes I don't want to do it either, but you need to do it.
Right.
And it's so, the things that you see your child do, it just gives you that feeling that, oh my gosh, the fight was so worth it.
Oh my goodness, so worth it.
Right?
So worth it.
The fighting that we go through every day, from insurance, from schools, from therapists, from everybody who thinks that whatever, it's just...
Yep. Well, we're so excited about this season, you guys. We have so many awesome guests lined up for you to hear, and topics that I cannot wait. So what we need you guys to do is subscribe and review Advocate Like a Mother on iTunes. You can sign up for our email list.
You can come follow us on Instagram at Advocate Like a Mother, where you can find both Michelle and I on Instagram, and Littlest Warrior for your Advocate Like a Mother tees. And be sure to subscribe so you guys can follow along and join this journey with us.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, friends. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Advocate Like a Mother podcast. The show officially launches this fall, and we don't want you to miss out. Go to www.advocatelikeamother.org and sign up on our email list to get notified when we launch. In the meantime, follow the show on Instagram at Advocate Like a Mother to interact further with Michelle and Ashley. Lastly, subscribe to the show on iTunes and let us know that you're loving the show by leaving us a review. Thanks for listening.